Mark Tegubin, hello, friend, and greetings again in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life, who came down from heaven to give life unto the world. This is Bob Griggs, and I'm delighted that you're joining us for a few moments of Bible study together. We're discussing and considering the qualifications of pastors. We've been talking about spiritual gifts and about the gift of prophecy, and how that in Old Testament times God used specific men to declare the truth to His people. And today, He still calls out men to be ministers of the gospel, to proclaim the Word of God, and to warn people of the judgment of God, of God's righteousness, to draw men, women, boys, and girls into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And believe me, beloved, there is nothing in this world that is greater nor more wonderful than knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, having a personal relationship with Him as Savior. Well, God gives qualifications for pastors, and that's what we're considering and thinking about, the qualifications that God gives for men. Now, different denominations, different religious organizations may have their own list of qualifications, but, beloved, what we really have to go by is not what man says or what man thinks, but what does God's Word tell us? For this is the final authority, the Word of God. And thus, Paul was writing to young Timothy, a young preacher that had walked with Paul and had ministered to Paul, and that God was now turning over to him a work and a ministry to perform. And so Paul is writing instructions to this young man and giving him qualifications concerning the leaders in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gives qualifications for a pastor, first of all, calling them bishops, or sometimes they're called elders in the New Testament. And so let's quickly read again up to verse 4 of 1 Timothy chapter 3, and verse 1 through 7 is where we're going to be reading, because these are qualifications God gives for pastors. This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop, then, must be blameless, a husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, that is, money, greedy of money, but patient, not a brawler, one that gets into a fight, not covetous, but one that ruleth well his own house. He's to have his own family, walking in obedience under God's direction and guidance, having his children in subjection with all gravity. That is, having his children obedient to him, to set an example, because people watch the children of a preacher. People judge the children of a preacher. It's not easy to be the child of a preacher, because people are always watching the preacher's son or the preacher's daughter, and what they do and what they say and where they go and how they act and how they dress and how they behave. And so a pastor has a big job in keeping his family lined up to walk in obedience to the Lord, to be an example to the flock over which God has made him the overseer, the bishop, or the minister of the gospel. having his children in subjection. That is, the children are to be obedient to their father. They're under his authority, and they're to obey him and follow the guidelines and the instruction that he gives to them. Verse 5, "For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?" And so we see the reason that a pastor must have his children under his control and know how to rule in his own house, that is, his wife being under his authority and being submissive to his leadership and guidance, one that ruleth well his own house. And so we see the wife and the children are to be cooperating with the pastor and to work in cooperation with the pastor, to not fight against him, to not be causing disruption and disharmony and conflict and trouble. "For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?" He can't do it if he's not keeping his own family under control. Then verse 6 says he's not to be a novice. Now, I've seen young men who were ordained before they were really ready to be ordained. They were a novice. I've seen them fall in pride. I've seen them fall under the works of darkness. I've seen them fall into sin and bring dishonor, disgrace, and shame upon the name of the Lord. I tell you, beloved, you have no idea the struggle and the attack of the enemy that comes upon the pastor and upon his family. Satan hates preachers, and Satan will do everything he can to get a preacher out of the ministry and to stop and neutralize his usefulness to God. And did you know, I read recently that over 200 pastors a week leave the ministry. Over 200 a week. Because, beloved, they're under the onslaught of Satan. And a novice doesn't know how to stand against the enemy. He will quickly fall, and that's why a novice is not to be given the ministry and to be ordained, but he is to grow spiritually, and it's good for him to work with a pastor and to be under the leadership of a pastor so he can learn all that's involved in leading a church and all the works of darkness that he's going to encounter and have to deal with. Lest be lifting up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Satan himself, beloved, was a beautiful creature that God created to protect his holiness and the mercy seat of heaven. And Satan became prideful. And we're told about it in Ezekiel and in Isaiah, where we see examples of how Satan was prideful and full of pride, and how that he, because of pride, fell into sin, wanted to overthrow the throne of God, wanted to be the Lord God of heaven, and how that he was judged as a result, and how that he is still working in around us everywhere with his false angels. Revelation chapter 12 tells us about the angels of heaven. He led a third of the angels of heaven in rebellion against God. And so he and his demons, his evil spirits, were defeated and cast out. But they're upon the earth today, working to deceive and bind and to blind men from the knowledge of the truth. We're told in the book of Corinthians that the god of this world, which is Satan, the god of this world system, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest they should believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and should be saved. Beloved, that's why so many in the political realm make such foolish judgments and make such foolish mistakes It's because they're blinded, and it's the blind leading the blind. And God, the Lord Jesus Himself, warned about the blind leading the blind. And I'm afraid we're seeing that in the United States of America today, as we're seeing many ungodly people in places of political authority and position that are making foolish mistakes because they're not obeying the Word of God, but they're walking contrary to the truth of God's Word. And this so often is the case in the world system because they're under the control of Satan, the god of this world, who has put them in those positions of authority because he hates mankind and he wants to doom and damn the souls of men, women, boys, and girls to a Christless eternity. He hates Almighty God, and so God created man in His image and likeness, and so mankind is enemy number one to the devil, as he seeks to destroy men and women and keep them from glorifying the Lord God. Then verse 7 of 1 Timothy chapter 3, "Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without." That is, a pastor must have a good report of the ungodly and of those around him. They must be able to see Christ in and through his walk, through his talk, through his manner of living, and through his family and their influence. It must be a godly influence, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Oh, beloved, I tell you, Satan and his snares are out there seeking to neutralize the man of God, seeking to stop the man of God from proclaiming the truth of God's Word and from walking in obedience to the Lord God. And then if you'll turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17. Here we see the pastors are referred to as elders. That is, they're to be older in the Word of God, older in serving the Lord, men who have walked with the Lord, and men who are wise in obeying God and knowing the Word of God and not easily deceived and led astray as a novice. Let the elder that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Those who are pastors that are godly men, that are obedient to the Lord, that fulfill the qualifications of a pastor, should be honored by the members of the church. They should be loved. They should be respected. They should be looked up to rather than criticized and condemned and put down. Time's gone again. Join us next time as we continue this study. Till then, goodbye.